Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, praise team. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Before the mercy, we call Sister Nina. We are going to pray for her. It's never too much to pray. This is corporate prayer because she's traveling and she can't wait till the end of the service. Sister Nina, since she joined us, has been a vessel of honor in this household. Praise God. She's always active here and there looking for what to do for the Lord. She's the one actually looking. What can I do? What can I do? And she's so active, even at her age. The Lord will bless you and strengthen you the more in Jesus' name. Amen. So as she travels, please stretch forth your hands. Stretch forth your hand. God bless you. It is well with you, my sister, in the name of Jesus. As you are traveling, even to Africa, the Lord will go with you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will fight your battles for you in the name of Jesus. You shall not have any disappointment whatsoever in the name of Jesus. Your heart desire shall be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. You will go, come back, and testify to the praise and glory of the Most High God. In Jesus' name. And the Lord strengthen you and cause you to testify of his goodness. In Jesus' name. Go in peace. It is well with you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is good. Time did not permit. I wanted to give a testimony, but I just squeezed it in right away, talking about the goodness of the Lord in the SWAT team. Praise the Lord. The Lord has been faithful. It's true that we are so few. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes most times three. And that's not so commendable when it comes to the number anyway. And so there is a need. Pray for harvesters. Because the end time. I was in a retreat recently, and I was speaking. It was a global retreat, and I was giving a topic to talk about. That's on John chapter 9, verse 4. Must what the words of him that sent me. The day is running far, the night coming when no man can walk. So many reasons why we should take advantage of the present moment and win souls. Praise the Lord. So many reasons. I'm convinced beyond measure that it is worth doing. Make it a lifestyle. There are those who have enlisted as SWAT team members. I just pray the Lord give you grace. I know the work schedule is so tight. But please just know that we too that are doing this job, we have other jobs. On a regular basis, I come from work, straight from work, then for SWAT. But the consolation is that we don't stay too long, just 1 hour. Praise the Lord. It's not only me. My sister Alice, the same thing. My wife, most times, the same thing. So we make sacrifice. And the testimony I brought again, I'm talking about the ISIS and persecution. This gospel is worth dying for. Christ is worth dying for. These people here, they beheaded. They have options. Option to say, oh, I deny Christ. And then they will leave. But because they are convinced and they know whom they serve, they are ready that they cut their neck. Then, for just some inconvenience, some people are not ready. Please, let's have a change of mind and pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the vineyard. Praise God. That is just that. And then, as few as we are, the Lord gives us good harvest, relatively. On Easter, during the Easter outreach, we had 12 souls. I think we're just two that day, 12 souls. The following Saturday, we had 22 souls. Yesterday, had 12 souls. We give God praise. It's not working by number, But imagine if we're more. Just imagine, just visualize. If we're more than just two or three each time. What great impact we'll have on this Phoenix community. Praise God. May Lord help every one of us to do what we ought to do at a time such as this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the Lord laid my heart to talk about the triple crown ministry of Jesus. The triple crown ministry of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, Father, for divine sustenance. Thank you, Lord, for your grace upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege we have, O Lord, even to tell others about Jesus. A great privilege. Some no longer have this wonderful opportunity and privilege, but we count it a thing of joy that while we still have the daytime, that, O Lord, you are vindicating, O Lord, by saving souls. We want to thank you for that in Jesus' name. As we go into the word, we are asking that you speak to your people. Use my vocal cord to speak to your children comfortably, both here and online. That your name, Lord, be glorified, souls be saved, and people be healed and strengthened in the faith in Jesus' name. Amen. The triple crown ministry of Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, had a triple ministry. In the Old Testament, there were prophecies about a prophet that God will raise up like Moses towards the end of time. And Jesus actually fulfilled that prophecy. We're going to read some scriptures later. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy concerning three main offices spoken of in the Old Testament: prophet, priest, and king. Save Jesus. And by the way, there are some people who just think that Jesus Christ no more than just a prophet. There are some religion, they say Jesus Christ is one of the prophets. Praise God. But you see, he was a prophet, he was a priest, and also a king. This same Jesus, and is the creator of the whole universe. Many people can't take that as say, God has no son. How can? They visualize it in the normal way as we have children. No, it's not so. When the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it means much more than just being a child of somebody. The Jews understood this, and that is why they eventually killed him. In fact, that was the greatest of all the offenses. You call yourself the Son of God. In Hebrew language, the understanding is that that is God Almighty. And of course, Jesus Christ was not less God. He was true God and true man. Amen. That's the balance you know. That's the understanding you have. Jesus Christ was true God and true man. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Son of Man as a prophet. Jesus fulfilled all these rules. Why some see Jesus as just a prophet? He certainly was more than just one. He, as the true man and true God, fulfilled also his role as the Messiah, the Son of God and Son of Man. Praise God. Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. Colossians 1 verse 15. God whom you cannot see, God who is spirit, he had to come down as a man. That's the Son of God for you. It's a mystery. And don't say, oh, because you are a father, you have a son. Then you compare Jesus with your son. That's not it. The Son of God means God. It is God. It is God that is talking. It's God that has been sent down. We know that there was another thing they accused Jesus of, but mainly because he said he was the Son of God. They considered it blasphemy. Remember, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. He said, personal. See, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. They didn't understand. They thought he meant the physical temple, but was talking about his own body. Praise God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God dwells in you. And he fulfilled that promise. And scripture will say, the Father raised him up. God raised him up. It's all one God in three manifestations. Don't ever get confused about that. Praise God. Jesus existed before anything was created. John chapter 1, verse 1. While he was the Son of God, Son of Man, he operated in three offices according to the scriptures. Let's talk about Jesus as King. In Revelation 1, verse 5, let's check it out. In Revelation 1, verse 5, say, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That Jesus, the prince of kings. We say King of Kings. Even the song that we sang just now talking about King of Kings. The same thing as Prince of Kings. He's the King of Kings. We have earthly king. Jesus Christ is King of all. That's why the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turned it whithersoever he listed. He is the king. He is the grand commander of all principalities and powers, both visible and invisible. Amen. That's Jesus for you, the King of Kings. Revelation 19, verse 16 also talks about that. The name of Jesus at the end, especially toward the end of the Great Tribulation, when he comes with his sin. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is Jesus, this same Jesus we are talking about. King of Kings. Who is beside him? Who is greater than the King of Kings? No one. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. The Ancient of Days, the bright and morning star, the Rose of Sharon, and the Lily of the Valley. That's Jesus for you. Amen? Yes, Jesus is all of that. So we'll just give you those scriptures to buttress. There are so many other scriptures, but time will not permit to go into them. Jesus Christ indeed was king. King over what? So he had a kingdom? Yes. What he said that my kingdom is not of this world. During the trial, he said that my kingdom is not of this world. But he has a kingdom. If you are born again, you are a member of the kingdom of God. You are a citizen there. Amen. Yeah, it's spiritual now. But during the millennium, it's going to be physical. So Jesus Christ is king. He's my king. Not only the King of Kings, he has even made us believers, his own followers, to be kings and priests also. Amen. So we'll talk about Jesus as the king. Now let's talk about Jesus as priest. As a priest, Jesus Christ came after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7, 15 to 17. Hebrews chapter 7, 15 to 17. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Talking about Jesus. His priesthood is not after Aaron or the Levitical priesthood, because those priesthood, they were limited. They had endless sacrifices on daily basis to cover sins in the Old Testament. But the book of Hebrews, read Hebrews chapter 7, tells you about the insufficiency or inadequacy of those sacrifices of the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ had to come as the Lamb of God. And his blood was shed. And not just that, as a priest reconciling man back to God. Not just as a priest, he's also our high priest, even making intercession for us. Think about that. So Jesus Christ is all that to you and to me. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is a priesthood that transcends the Levitical order and the eternal and is eternal and superior. In the Old Testament, you have priests. Then there was just one high priest that would go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. Only one high priest could do that. But you see, that priest who was not forever, that priest who was not eternal, because they will come and go. You see, that high priest is come and is dead, then another high priest comes. But in case of Jesus, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Melchizedek had no father and no mother, and he was just a foretype of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So endless genealogy, had no beginning and no ending. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is there making intercession for you even now? That's what the Bible says. We're going to read it later. He offers a perfect and final sacrifice for sin, unlike the sacrifice of old. As our high priest, he leads to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 24 to 25. Present continuous. As our high priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. But that's not all about him. Amen. But this man, because he continues ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise God. When the high priest prays for you, that means so much. He prayed for Peter. He said, I know, see, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice, but I prayed for you. The same God is praying for you now and for me that will sustain this Christian race. So don't be afraid. He said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Amen. Hebrews 5, 6 to 10. Let's read that too. Hebrews 5, 6 to 10. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, on any priesthood, who in the days of his flesh, where he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Praise the Lord. Yeah, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's Jesus for you. Some people know him as prophet. He's also the high priest. But beyond that, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Without him was nothing made that was made. Revelation 4, verse 11. He created all things, and by him were all things made. Yes, thou art worthy, O Lord. We sing this song every day, but I believe next time you are singing, you're going to have a deeper meaning. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, not some things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. That's Jesus for you, the Son of God, the prophet, you know, and the King of Kings. His priestly ministry after the order of Melchizedek highlights the superiority of the new covenant and Jesus' role as the ultimate mediator between God and man. Having talked about the kingship of Christ, priesthood of Christ, let's now talk about his prophetic ministry. Jesus Christ indeed was a prophet. Why was ministry here? He gave prophecies, because prophets, they testify of God, the word of God, and they also predict the future. Jesus Christ did all that. There were some prophecies he gave. We classify them into two. Some pre-ascension prophecies and the other one post-ascension prophecies. What that means? You know, the ascension of Christ. After Jesus Christ died and he rose again, he ascended to heaven. He ascended to heaven. So there were prophecies. Why was ministry that he gave concerning his life and ministry? His death was not an accident. That somebody would betray him was not an accident. He knew about what was happening. And that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried to the Father, say, but this thing that is upcoming for me is terrible. It's terrible because he was true God and true man. He would feel as a human being. He hungered as a human being. He thirsted. He got tired as a human being and he would rest. So on that side, he felt, if it's possible that this cup be taken away, this trial that is coming, if it's possible, Father, let it be. He prayed and prayed, not just that single prayer. He prayed again and again until the sweat that came out from his body was like blood. So he really agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the end, the Father was unyielding. The Father was unbending. The Father turned his face against the Son. And Jesus had to pass through. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's Jesus for you. So let's talk about some of his pre-ascension testimonies, prophecies. For example, even while he was ministering, he talked about the drought of fishes. He told Peter, you know, to cast his net into the deep and he will catch. He foresaw that as a prophet. He had foreknowledge. He had the gift of word of knowledge and everything in operation. And he was surprised. After they had toiled all night, they couldn't have any catch. And then the master said, just launch. Throw it to this side. Let's obey the Lord. The Lord can be telling you certain things too. You have been doing things certain way and it's not been yielding results. And the Lord say, change your system. You have been praying one way, change the style of your praying. Just yield. Because the Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows the way through the wilderness. And he's gone ahead of us. And so he will answer you. He will answer me in Jesus' name. Yes. When they needed coin to pay tax, he said, just go catch a fish. The very first fish you catch. If that's not prophetic, what is it? He just told them, this is strange what our master is saying. Catch a fish and then you find a coin there and then with that you go and pay tax. Well, that's exactly what happened. The raising of Lazarus, he foresaw it. John 11:11. Man bearing the pitcher, even before he went for the Passover in Jerusalem, he told them, you are going to see somebody bearing a pitcher, a man or not a woman bearing a pitcher. And it was so exactly. He told them about the furnished room that, look, just go to such and such a place, enter such and such area, and if they ask you, why are you here? Say, the master said we should come and prepare this room. Master has need of it. Even the donkey, he didn't pay for it, but he said, just go. When you meet the owner, I say, why? What do you want to do with my donkey? the master has need of it. If the master has need of your money, your time, your energy, would you refuse him? The donkey couldn't refuse. Praise the Lord. Think about that. If a donkey wouldn't refuse, what about you? It's created in the image of God. So, little opportunity that comes for us to serve God, let's make the best use of it. He foresaw his own burial. He foresaw how disciples will scatter after the resurrection. Matthew 26. We don't read all these scriptures. God, it takes so much time. The hour of his betrayal, he knew. Even when they're having the breaking of bread, and when the time came, he was the one to say, the hour has come. The whole day that after me, they are around. And when they turned, they really saw the soldiers coming. And then Judas kissing him. Betrayed thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He knew everything ahead. So his death, he saw it ahead, but he had to go all the way through Calvary. He's dead by crucifixion. He saw it, John chapter 3, verse 14. These are the some of the pre-ascension prophecies Jesus gave. So he saw how his death would be, how they would just arrest him. Say, come with me, steal some knives. I have not done anything. I perform signs and wonders. I give you people food and all that. I heal the sick. And now you are coming after me with steals. Nevertheless, he did not resist like any of us would today. Even if a man of God is being abused, like we hear even on social media, they want to go after the person who is abusing the man of God. Not Jesus. Even when Peter took up a sword and cut off Marcus' ear, he performed the creative miracle right there. Restored the ear. See, don't you know, if I were to call down a legion of angels, call down angels to kill it with silent gospel, if he wanted to do so, he would have done so. But he did not. But think about us today, we men of God, we ministers of the gospel. If somebody will go against us, they will hate that person for life. That person against me, even curse me openly and all that. So things like this, these are things we need to bear, which you learn from our master, learn from his footsteps. It was spat upon during the trial. To be spat upon, have you ever experienced that? That's one of the greatest insults. But Jesus Christ saw all that, he bore all that for your sake and my sake. He also gave post-ascension prophecies. That was after he went up to heaven. He also gave some prophecies that would transpire before this end of the age. Not end of the world, end of the age. Now, he talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit because he told them that they should go and wait for the promise of the Father in the upper room. He foresaw it that the Holy Spirit will come. That was prophetic. And it happened exactly as he said. On the day of Pentecost, that was the feast day of the Jews, you know, Holy Spirit came upon them and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they prophesy and speak in tongues and magnify the name of the Lord. That same Jesus is still alive today. Any believer who believes in Jesus, if you have just given your life to Christ, just know that the next thing is to get water baptized and also baptism of the Holy Ghost. God himself is the baptizer. A man of God may lay hands upon you, but he's not the baptizer. He's the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe. That is the baptizer. In water baptism, a man of God can take you to the water and you come out of it. That is ministry. But when it comes to baptism of the Holy Ghost, men of God may lay hands upon you if you are not ready and if you have not even given your heart to Christ. See, you may not receive the Holy Ghost. So first thing is for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Have your sins forgiven and be sure of eternal life. When that happens, then you can ask for the baptism of the Holy Ghost as well as the baptism of water. Those are things. God gives salvation to unbelievers as a gift. Holy Ghost given to believers as a gift also. You ask for, you test and hunger for it. Some people say, oh, how can I receive the Holy Ghost? I'll be asking all the why. There may be some reason why some people are like that, they don't receive. For let me just tell the story of two women. It's a story and it happened really. These two women, they were in a particular church, but for one reason or the other, there was bitterness between them. They didn't love one another and they hated one another. But they are called sisters in the church, two of them. So if one of the sisters sat somewhere there, the other one wants to be very far away from the enemy sister, unquote. Unfortunately, one day, the church was full to the brim. And the only place she would sit was close to her enemy. Can you imagine that? She felt very uneasy, very uncomfortable, and they couldn't even hide their animosity for one another. Sisters, born again. Now the pastor noticed what was happening between the two sisters. Say, yes, I've been suspecting this all the while. Today is today. If you are Christians, be Christians indeed. How can you hate one another? How can you have a spirit of bitterness and you're in the church? You say you are born again, you are serving the Lord. So when the pastor said that, the spirit of conviction just came upon both of them. This one said, sister, I'm very, very sorry. The other one said, no, I'm the one at fault. They were just doing that, reconciling one another. Say, I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. And when they reconciled, look at two things that happened. One of the sisters have been praying. Ah, men of God, pray for me, pray for me. I have goiter, swelling on the neck. And no answer, as if God traveled. But this time around, no pastor laid hands upon them. The goiter vanished. Now we got her miracle right there and then because she had forgiven that sister. Then the other sister, her problem was not sickness. Her problem was that for a long, long time, she had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man of God, pray for me. Anyway, man of God, pray for me. Man of God, pray for me. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to receive Holy Ghost. Nothing happened. But when she now forgave the sister, behold, she burst into tongues and received the power of the Most High God. Praise God. Sin can hinder somebody from receiving the party of the Holy Ghost. There are some people who have crossed their mind, just made up their mind, that my enemy, somebody who offended me, I'm not going to ever forget or forgive that person. Christians born again say that. If there is anybody who has such attitude, repent. That is the word. You can't serve two masters. You Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple if you have love for one another. There are people like those two sisters. They still continue in animosity and hatred and bitterness towards one another. Towards mother-in-law, towards father-in-law, towards father, towards children and all those kind of things. You just need to forgive them. Discharge them. Even if you were abused as a child, it's time for you to forgive because now you are wiser. Now God has redeemed you. Now you are a child of God. Many Christians find it difficult to forgive their parents who hurt them while they were very young. It ought not to be so. And for that reason, don't take care of their parents when they are old. That's very unfortunate. It doesn't speak of somebody who knows Christ. We know Christ, but in our character, we behave otherwise. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Yes. So Jesus Christ prophesied about the repeat of the wickedness as in the days of Noah at the end time. And we're in the end time now. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26-27. Now, what happened in the days of Noah? People were getting married. Were giving married. They were planting, they were feasting, They were doing everything. Now, at a first glance, you think, is there any evil in getting married? Is there any evil in having farms, you know, or having property? No, there's no evil there. What Jesus said, that look, it will be business as usual. It's not as if the world has come to an end because Jesus Christ is coming soon. It will be business as usual. Have you been married before? Yes. Keep on getting married. Have you been eating, throwing parties? Keep on throwing parties. But in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the law is trying to tell us about watchfulness, that we need to be watchful. Even while we are getting married, be watchful. If you are planting a farm, be watchful. Whatever you are doing, be watchful. That's what it means. The very fact that Jesus is coming soon does not mean that you should leave school, leave your work, or leave your responsibility as a father or a mother, or as a husband and a wife. Oh, no, Jesus is coming very soon. Assume he's coming tomorrow. Christ has not told you to leave what you are doing. In fact, he even said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Be busy. Well, not just doing secular job. That's not bad anyway, but occupy with the things of God. Keep on getting, be busy, so that even when the Son of Man comes, you may find use. Sometimes maybe some people are in Bible study, some people are in church service, some people are even just praying and fasting, and Jesus Christ will come. It doesn't mean those who are in the farm, that if they are qualified, they will not go. The Bible tells us about that in the scriptures, that two women shall be at the mill during daytime, and one will be taken, the other left. Two people will be sleeping night time as in another place. One will be taken and the other left. That's the rapture, that's the translation. To tell you that you don't just have to pack your bag from school or from your work and stay at home, or now come to the church. Church is now your house. Church is now your everything because Jesus is coming soon. The reason I'm saying that, because it happened in the 70s and some people feel the same, may go into the same error today. I thank God that I was alive in the school at that time when we believed that Jesus Christ would come very soon at that time. And many people were doing things hastily, some taking wives hastily, you know, just because Jesus Christ is coming very soon. So even beliefs otherwise, that without marriage, no rapture, all those kind of false things. It happened at that time. When we were babies, we made such mistakes. Yes, but I thank God. As for me as an individual, I'm a man of the Bible. I never saw anything like that. But I read those scriptures about one taken and the other left. How is it? Is it that, oh, God will just tell you one day, Jesus is coming that day. And then, if you were the one, you are absolutely sure Jesus Christ is coming on that day, would you want to be in your office or school? No. You want to be in the church. You want to be praying. But that's artificial. That's not. It will be business as usual. Just be doing what you are doing. You are cooking, still keep on cooking. Jesus is coming soon. Just be ready in your heart. That's the right attitude. I wasn't moved. I thank God for his grace. And it's the word of God that will sustain us at this hour. Because so many things are happening. To business as usual, as it was in the days of Lot. The same thing. Wickedness going on as we have it today. So the Lord will come anytime. It will be daytime in some place, nighttime in another. You know that very well from simple geography. As we are in Sunday now, some people, like in Australia, they are already in Monday. It's Monday time, Monday. And some are approaching Tuesday. The same world. So you know that. So that's how it's going to be, that some people are walking during the day. Rapture will take place, one taking the other left. Some people, same time, because it's going to be simultaneous. Same time in another place, sleep time, night time. Whether you are sleeping or not, when the time comes, you'll be raptured. But the Bible says, or Jesus says, in Luke 21:36, watch and pray so that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all the evil that are coming upon the world. Let's be watchful. The best attitude to assume that Jesus Christ could come today and do the very best that you can for him. Christianity is not just about asking, God do this for me, God do this for me. We are fond of asking. When did this theology come to us? Was it so in the early church? They sacrificed their time and energy and money, you know, postponed their lands for the benefit of the brethren and all that. They did all that sacrificially because they know the benefit of it. Today is just asking. Even a simple command, be my witness. Many are not obeying that command. It's a commandment. We are living in disobedience, living in hatred and bitterness. And we say Jesus is coming soon. So it's time for us to repent of having all such spots. There are spots in our garment. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ also told us about the appearance of the false Messiah, the Antichrist. There have been Antichrist in the Bible, even in the early church. Antichrist, plural. But there's going to be one in the end time, the Antichrist. John chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, you receive me not. Another will come in his name, and that one you will receive. That's exactly what is going to happen. Watch Israel, watch the news, watch the papacy, watch the event that is soon going to take place. Because the man they think is the Messiah will be the Antichrist. The Jews, they are expecting the Messiah. Messiah came, they didn't recognize him, they killed him. But they are expecting the Messiah today. Muslims also expecting the Messiah. They call him Mahdi, the Mahdi. And that is why they do many things that they do. They believe that you have to kill infidels, push, you know, cleanse the world of all those people, and then the Mahdi will come and have a reign of righteousness all over the earth. Delusion. Christians are waiting the coming of the Messiah, not the first time, but to come and take us home in the translation. So everybody, virtually everybody, we are waiting for the Messiah. Messiah has come. He has done his work. Many people did not recognize him. But the false one, false Christ, we come and deceive the people with peace. And by peace shall deceive many. Watch the language. Peace. All over peace. That's why they say all religions should be together now. All religions. There'll be no Christianity, no Buddhism. We are all one. We are all children of God. That is falsehood. That's not scripture. That negates the scripture. The gospel. The gospel is about Christ. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. Salvation, church cannot save anybody. Denomination cannot save anybody. Religion cannot save anybody, but only Jesus can save. We should know this. But when we have some people say, we are all one, we are all these children of God, that's falsehood already. Either because of pride or because of their ambition to be popular and whatever. They now forget Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and other scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no salvation in any other apart from that name, Jesus. They are now watering down the gospel, and they will take this Bible from Christians and give another Bible that will suit all the religion. That's the danger that's ahead about all this so-called one-world religion. Some people say, that Jesus Christ actually even prayed that we all may be one. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. Problem with Christianity is that we wait for pastors alone to interpret the word of God, or prophets or ministers alone. The average Christian does not believe he or she has to search the word of God. When I was not yet a pastor, I got born again. I knew the value of the word of God. I had concordance. I had encyclopedia. I had different things to study the Bible, even at that time. There are people who go to Bible school. They are not because they want to be pastors. They just want to understand the word of God. Please, test and hunger after righteousness. Those who don't understand the word of God, they are likely to be deceived at the end time. False Christ, that is false anointed one. They may not be prophets. They may not even be teachers, but false anointed ones. So they are false anointed ones at the end time. False Christ. They are not satisfied with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. They seek for extra power. and go to Babalawo and think they are justified doing the work of God. You can't help God to do his work. Praise God. Not in that fashion. Jesus Christ predicted of false messiah, rumors of wars, famine, persecution, and we have it all around. Increase in wickedness, love waxing cold. Some people, they are lost. For God's waxing cold. They are not cold. That's the Laodicean spirit. And God is not happy with it. We have to repent. Every spirit of lukewarmness. We have to repent of every spirit of lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, go back to your first love. The second advent, he also predicted it. Said many things. And then in Hebrews 9:20, he said, we should be expectant of his coming. We should look forward to his coming. Jesus Christ is coming to take those who are expectant of his coming. This is something you need to take seriously. Yes, he's not going to appear to those who are not challenged, who don't even believe that he's coming. Let's read it, please. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We should be expectant of the coming of the Lord. The unbelieving, the unprepared, they can't expect the Lord Jesus Christ because they know that Jesus Christ is not coming as a savior, but as a judge this time around. He's coming with fire upon the world, coming with hailstone upon the Antichrist system. So, anybody who is not right with God is afraid that Christ is coming as a lion and to judge. But we, his children, he's not coming to judge us. We should be happy that our master is coming, and with him, we are going to judge the Antichrist system. So it will be business as usual. Some could be eating, drinking, sleeping, cooking, and having meetings and all that, or in a worship service. For those who predict the exact time, this conflicts with the scripture. I've explained that. Praise God. Yes, suppose you have unforgiving spirit, even right now as you are listening, unforgiving spirit. And maybe against your mother or against your daughter, or against your son, or any member of the family, or even a friend. You are not on greeted terms. What do you need to do? Repent. Repent. Don't procrastinate until tomorrow. It is possible now even to reconcile with somebody. Somebody's in Los Angeles and you are in at the mercy with that person. You can reconcile even through phone. Yes, you can. Got the story of a sister. A sister, a believer, who also had a brother. They were not on speaking terms. And for many years, no communication between themselves because of hurt, because of grievance, because of animosity. But one day, she heard a message about forgiveness, this sister. And she decided that day that she was going to forgive the brother, no matter what. And then she made a call to the brother, and the brother was so surprised. Is that you, my sister? Am I dreaming? And it happened that they got reconciled. And many things that lady had been praying for that were not answered, God started to answer them one after the other. So you can see this unforgiveness, this bitterness, and hatred, and malice is not of God. We need to repent of it. It's one of the things we need to do in anticipation of Christ's coming. Praise God. So in anticipation of Christ's coming, occupy it till he comes. Keep on doing what Jesus Christ came to start. You continue in the ministry of reconciliation. Don't be idle. And don't expect a particular date for the rapture. Many people are so anxious, and even if a man of God will come and say, I want to tell the day of the rapture, people will be excited. I will not be excited. I will not be excited. But I know the season of time, and there's need for me to be ready anytime Jesus comes, and not to wait for a particular date and time. For that reason, many people have been disappointed, and many people now doubt the word of God. Scoffers now arise and say, they have been saying it. They have been saying Jesus Christ coming on such a date. So I don't want to belong to that school. No. Deceiving people. They speak their mind and say, thus saith the Lord. I don't want to belong to that school. Just be right and ready any day, any time. The rapture itself is a sign of the second advent of Christ. The season and time of his return is enough for us to prepare, for the bride making herself ready. This is preparation time. Do the needful. Repent of every known sin and ask Jesus to help you to be alert and watchful so that his coming, none of us will be left behind. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for some people. You've not known God. All I'm saying now is like grammar. Talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ, the triple crown ministry of Jesus Christ, as king, as priest, and as a prophet. So go beyond knowing Jesus as just a prophet. Go beyond knowing him as just a high priest. And go beyond knowing him as just the king of kings. He's the creator of all. Without him, nothing exists. He created all things for his own pleasure, and they were created. So I am created for his own pleasure. Amen. You were created for his own pleasure. How am I fulfilling that purpose for which God created me now? Am I really operating for his own pleasure? You can ask yourself that. So if you have not known the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to know him. All you need to do, realize that you are a sinner. Secondly, realize that the Savior is there for you in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the good news is eternal life is in Christ Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have both the Father and the Son. But if you claim you know the Father, you don't know Jesus, sorry, you don't know the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father also. So reconcile with God. Ask him to have mercy. We have pardon. He forgive you all your sins and trespasses. Wash away all your sins and make you a brand new creature. That's what God does. We don't merit salvation. We don't earn salvation. We receive salvation. It's already done. Jesus said, it is finished. All you need to do is receive pardon and forgiveness of sin. But repent of your past and ask Jesus to come and become your Lord and Master. Say it with your mouth. Because the Bible says, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's what we do when we witness people. We make them say it verbally. And that's how I said it 52 years ago, and the Lord is still keeping me. And continue to keep me until it's coming in Jesus' name. So let's not deviate from the ancient landmarks. The Lord is surely coming soon. As it were in the days of Noah, people doubted this old man. He'd be talking for 120 years. The world will come to an end or something. And he's building an ark. He's just a foolish man. Have you ever heard a rain fell in such dimension before? But alas, last time, he was vindicated. The Lord will vindicate you. Those who are holding on to God's unchanging hand will never fail you in the name of Jesus. Those who are sick in your mortal body, remember Jesus Christ took all those stripes for you and for me. By his stripes, we were healed. We have to claim it. Like one of our pastors said earlier, we just have to say the word of God. Say it as it is. Confess what God has done for you. He has already done, not that he will heal you. Claim it. So many receive, some don't, but be among those who receive. Lord God bless you in Jesus' name. Lord God strengthen you, keep you blameless, spirit, soul, and body, even until his coming, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As many as are sick, they are listening to me, I declare them whole in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed 2,000 years ago. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. It is well with every troubled home. Every family, I pray for you to have peace of God that passes on all understanding. If you make Jesus Christ the Lord and number one of your family, there will be peace, there will be humility, there will be understanding, and there will be forbearance in that family, and there will be forgiveness of one another, and peace of God will reign. Let it be so for every family in the name of Jesus. Thank you for our children, our youth. It's well with them. We shall hear good testimony concerning them, how they are doing exploits. And you keep them from falling. You keep them from defilement in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.